Good morning and a very warm welcome to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where we are still in a festive mood and I am going to continue playing more Christmas carols again today, plus some modern versions and things also. Last Sunday when I arrived in the church in Birr, I went and I asked the folks for a couple of their favourite Christmas carols, which we then went and sang, putting poor Arthur the organist a bit on the spot. But we sang away good gusto and he played perfectly. Last week, one of the scriptures that was read was from Matthew 11, where John the Baptist was someone at this point in his life that was in prison. And he has a question for Jesus. And so we'll read from Matthew 11, beginning at verse 2. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before me.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." I find this passage of scripture very interesting, because here you have John the Baptist, that Jesus has just gone and said, is the one who is preparing the way for the Messiah. Here was the one who was declaring in John's gospel, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And now here he is asking the question, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we expecting someone else?" Are you the one who is to come, or are we to expect someone else? When I converse and talk with people, many people have the idea that Jesus Christ has somehow failed them, let them down. And truth be told, the question that they are asking today is that very same question. Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Let me just throw it to you. Has Jesus actually been somebody who has fulfilled your understanding of him? Or maybe what is the case is we need to actually explore our understanding of him. And today, that's one of the things that we're going to do throughout the show, as well as listening to the carols. Hark the glad sound, the Saviour comes, the Saviour promised long, let every heart prepare a throne and every voice a song. Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where we are looking at the question that John the Baptist asked of Jesus. Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Are you the one that was to come, or should we expect someone else? And as we went and said, John the Baptist was the forerunner, the one who had turned his back on the temple and turned his back on the religious way of life and had gone out into the desert and was proclaiming to the people that they were to repent and prepare for the Messiah that was to come. We know that they were looking for a military leader, one who was going to set them free from the tyranny of Rome. And here was poor John the Baptist, now thrown in jail. And Jesus gives him an answer. But you see, the problem was that even though John the Baptist was declaring that here is the Son of God who's going to take away the sin of the world, even though he was declaring to the people, prepare a highway for the Lord, make straight paths for him, John also had this vision of Jesus being the one who was going to set Israel free. Well, How was that to happen? Possibly not the way that John anticipated or expected it to happen. Listen here now to Psalm 80 and listen to it in regard to how it may be that the Jews back then and still the Jews now are waiting for this military conqueror to set them free. Here's Charlize reading Psalm 80 for us.
Our psalm today is Psalms 80. Hear us, Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might, come and save us. Restore us, O God, make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. How long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smoulder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us an object of derision to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, God Almighty, make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. You transplanted a vine from Egypt, you drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. Its branches reached as far as the sea, its shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its walls, so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, and insects from the fields feed on it. Return to us, God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your right hand has planted, the sun you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down, it is burnt with fire. At your rebuke your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved.
You see, when we look at Psalm 80, it tells you that you have fed us with the bread of tears. Hardship is in it. Our enemies are gloating over them. So they're looking for a deliverer that's going to set them free. And in the physical sense, as they looked at this psalm and walked around, well, the Roman Empire, which had occupied their land, were the very ones that they could easily see that this was speaking about. And they needed to be set free from this Roman tyranny. Don't forget, it's 400 years of God being silent. John the Baptist preaches, who told you to escape the coming wrath? So his understanding or expectation is that the Messiah was one who was going to come and pour out his wrath on the enemies of God, not realizing, as John goes and says in his gospel, that Jesus Christ came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And so when Jesus is going round and doing good things to all of these people and preaching love and preaching to love your enemies, it's contrary to the understanding that John the Baptist may have had of what God was going to do. So he asked the question, are you the one who's to come, or do we expect someone else? I believe that we live in a day and age, in 2022, where many, many people have not only asked that question, but have answered that question by coming to conclusion that Jesus is not the one who answers their needs, and they turn elsewhere. But that's because they don't have a great understanding of who he is. What is the answer that is sent back to John? This is the answer that Jesus goes and says. Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. In other words, the things that were impossible for anyone to do back then, and even impossible for us to do now. The Messiah was someone who had come and had restored the sight of the blind, enabled the lame to walk, cured the incurable disease, enabled the deaf to hear, and raised the dead. These were the things that he was doing. And on the back of that, he was also preaching the good news to the poor. That what? That the kingdom of God was near. 2022, do you believe that Jesus Christ is someone who can have the blind receive their sight, someone who can cause the lame to walk, someone who can cure an incurable disease, someone who can make a deaf person hear, someone who can raise a dead person to life. Do you believe that Jesus Christ can do that in 2022? Or maybe you've also concluded, or at least asked the question, Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Are you the one that we're to put our hope in? Are you the one that we're to believe in? Are you the one that we're to trust? I think it would be fair to say that every one of us have asked those questions. But what is the answer that you have come to? What conclusion have you arrived at? Well, that's another matter. Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where we're having Christmas carols, but we're also exploring the question that John the Baptist asked Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? And we're exploring the impact of that on us and our lives in 2022. When we look at Christendom, when we look at Christmas, when we look at the secularization of society, where we look at the moving away from traditional Christmas as it is, you go and say, Nigel, that's not the case, really. So how come since the start of December, when you're walking around a supermarket, you're not listening to Christmas songs, be they secular or sacred? How come there is no mention or very little mention of the coming of Christ, apart from those of us who are ministers in church or the carol service that are taking place? I remember a time not that long ago when all these sounds wafted through the streets. You just enjoyed the whole festive occasion, which was practically a month long. And it has got whittled down and whittled down and whittled down. But here's the thing. Not taking away from the commercialism, oh, that's there, all right. But is it because we were asking ourselves the question of Jesus? Are you the one who was to come? Or should we expect someone else? And I think it would be fair to say that many in society have chosen someone else. Not that I agree with that decision, but that's their decision. Is it any wonder then when we look at that first coming of Christ and then we consider now the difficulty people have of understanding the significance of the arrival of Jesus Christ? Is that why John wrote the following in his introduction to his gospel? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. That's John the Baptist we're speaking of. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, this was the one whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the only begotten Son, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Jesus Christ was the light of the world. And that's why in this section, more modern songs were focusing on who Jesus is as the light. Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And as we draw this show to a close, I want us to focus on Psalm 146 for a few minutes. Because the challenge I've been throwing out there is what John the Baptist went and asked. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect somebody else? We've looked at society, we've looked at where it is that you may be, where it is that people in general may be when it comes to the person of Jesus. We've looked at the scripture that Jesus actually came to his own people back then, and, well, he wasn't accepted. In fact, even now, today, listening to Orthodox Jews, when asked about Jesus Christ, they will go and say to you that he was just another insurrectionist who ended up dying on a cross. They still don't accept that he is the Messiah. But where does that leave you and me? One of the questions that I went and threw out was this. Who is Jesus to you? And does Jesus, the Jesus that you believe in, line up with Scripture? We've looked at the messianic call that Jesus went and gave in response to send back to John the Baptist. But the last line, the last statement he goes and makes is this. Blessed is the one who does not fall away on account of me. Isn't that an interesting line? Blessed is the one who does not fall away on account of me. You see, I think that that goes and challenges us at this Christmas season, challenges us in this Advent moment to actually go and really consider, who is Jesus to me? What does he mean? Does the Jesus I believe in actually stack up with what the Bible, the sacred text, goes and declares him to be? If we listen to Psalm 146, it tells us who the Lord is. This is Charlize reading Psalm 146.
We're reading from Psalms 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
If you note, after verse 5, it goes and says, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And that's where we are. We are blessed, that is happy, we're content, because God is our help and because our hope is in him. Why is our hope in him? Well, as we read also in John 1, he is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. And the exciting part about that is it means that God is able, God is capable of looking after us. God isn't a wimp. God isn't as small as we make him out to be. And we can be all guilty of making God smaller than he actually is. He is the creator of the world. But it doesn't stop there. The Lord remains faithful forever. That is some statement. The Lord remains faithful forever. Do you know the Lord being faithful to you? He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien or stranger and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Notice that there are similar statements that Jesus went and made about himself when he went and responded to John. The Lord. Note the number of times that that phrase is used. Statement after statement after statement. The question is that who you believe the Lord to be? He is someone who looks after the fatherless, someone who looks after the widow, someone who watches over the alien and stranger, the foreigner in our land. Do you believe that? Even when it appears, as we see in latest stories in the news and stuff like that, that we as a country have failed those who have come to our land. Failed even our own, for that matter. That doesn't mean that the Lord isn't watching over them. Maybe the very reason that their plight is coming to the surface and that we are being reminded through the news and other outlets is because the Lord is raising awareness of these facts and situations. Maybe Christmas is a time for you, and it's not wonderful. It's not all the glitter and glitz that the TV screen makes it out to be. I would go and say that nobody's home is all the glitter and glitz that the TV screen makes Christmas out to be. That's an illusion. Christmas is about Christ coming to be with us. Christ being God with us. Christ being and remaining faithful forever to us. Christ continuing to reveal his grace to us. Christ revealing his love to us. Christ revealing his mercy to us. The question is Christ lost in the glitz, the glamour, and the clamour of Christmas? Is Christ lost in the commercialism? Is this celebration lost to the significance to your soul and my soul of what it is that God has accomplished on our behalf? He has stepped into my world. He has stepped into your world. The question is, do we see it? Do you see Jesus in your world? And if so, how do you articulate that and share it with others? Let me leave that with you. Folks, all that's left for me to say at this point in time is may you have a wonderful and happy Christmas, where Christ is the revelation of Christmas for you. And until the next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you, show you grace and turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.